As a churchgoer, should you continue to attend a church where the pastor is sometimes clear about the saving message and sometimes not? Well, that's what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We're having a good time here at Grace in Focus. And today, we're going to cover a pretty important subject, and it has to do with the church which you go to and churches all over. Today, leading our discussion is Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. So let's go right to our discussion. This is Grace in Focus.
Welcome back to the show. My name is Sean. And I'm here with Bob.
Hi.
Hi, Bob.
Good to be here,
yeah,
Sean.
Good to see you again. You know, during this lockdown, we haven't been working in the offices.
No.
You know, we've been working from home. But out of necessity, you know, we've come together once a week to record.
For a couple to record hours,
these shows.
Yeah.
But stay away from me.
Oh, no.
That's six feet.
I got this stick. It's about 12 feet long, and I keep prodding you with it.
It's the normal stick. Well, that's been here for a few years, but now that's just your normal OCD stick.
I never hit Sean, and I am not OCD. I'm just OC.
Oh, just OC.
I used to live in Orange County, and I'm obsessive compulsive.
All right. I have a question from Dove of Oregon.
Okay.
And Dove asks, they started looking for a Grace church, basically, and they started attending a church, and it seemed to be good. But then, not once, but thrice, I heard my pastor loudly say, "Turn from your sins and invite Christ into your life to be saved." This was the same pastor who had said, when they asked, in their statement of faith, it just says that you just need to believe. And so what Dove is asking is, so is it a good idea to continue on going to this church? We get this question a lot.
Right.
People, they have a hard time finding a Grace church that's clear on the message of salvation, that it's simply by believing and you don't need to do any of this other stuff. And they'll go to a church and there's good teaching on a lot of other passages of Scripture. But then when it comes to the evangelistic appeal, oftentimes this Christianese slips in.
Right.
And then people get very discouraged and they say to themselves, do I need to leave this church because they just said you need to turn from your sins to be saved?
And invite Jesus into your heart.
And invite Jesus into your heart. And it's all these, you know, summer camp type evangelistic type stuff that's very confusing.
Right. My answer would be, first and foremost would be, what is the church's doctrinal statement? And this person has said that the doctrinal statement is clear, it's just by faith in Christ. So that's a good sign. Secondly, my second concern would be, if this is a typical church where the pastor is the one who preaches each week, which it sounds like it is, not rotating, but if you're hearing this person every week, then the second question is, what is this person's view?
Yeah.
This could be a misstatement. This person could have said something that they normally wouldn't say. And so for them to say turning from sins and inviting Jesus into your heart, is this what they believe or was this just kind of a misstep?
Right.
And so it might be a good idea to contact the pastor and ask him, is it by believing in Jesus like the doctrinal statement says, or is it inviting him into our heart and turning from our sins, as you said in this recent sermon?
Right.
If he says, no, wait a minute, I didn't mean that, I said the wrong thing, it's simply by believing in Jesus, and I'm sorry I misspoke. And then if the person going forward is very clear, it's just by believing in Jesus, that's great. But you have the problem, and you've alluded to it, Sean. What about the person who's clear sometimes and unclear other times?
Right.
And I would say you have a choice to make. Churches aren't perfect. Pastors aren't perfect. If a pastor is giving a mildly lordship message occasionally, and I don't even know if you'd call this mildly lordship, because inviting Jesus into your heart is so vague and so unclear.
Yeah.
And the part about turning from sins is not quite clear either. I mean, unless he goes on to make clear what he means, that's not crystal clear. So if a person is giving a vague message like this occasionally, but most of the time the person says it's just a matter of believing in Jesus.
I mean, even Jesus, if you're reading the Gospel of John, he says things like, take a drink of water, take a bite to eat, come to me like sheep. So he uses metaphorical language that I can imagine that someone hearing that from a church might say, see, that's not faith alone. That's
right.
Faith plus drinking. That's faith
right.
plus eating. So sometimes there is room for using this metaphorical language for faith.
Right. Now, right? I wouldn't use inviting Jesus into your heart because that metaphorical language is confusing and it's right. inaccurate.
Right.
And I wouldn't use turning from sins because that's also inaccurate.
Right.
But the greater question is a person clear on that most of the time? And the other issue which you raised is their teaching basically sound?
Yeah, they might be really good on other areas.
You might
be getting great teaching, verse-by-verse teaching, going through books of the Bible.
Right. Is the person sound 99% of the time? For example, do they teach about the judgment seat of Christ? If they do, that would certainly set them apart, because most churches don't. Do they believe
right.
in eternal rewards?
Right.
Now, if they don't believe in the judgment seat of Christ and eternal rewards, and they've got that all confused,
yeah,
then probably you should be finding another church.
Yeah.
But if they've got that, and they're sound in most of their teaching, and occasionally they make some misstatement about what a person must do to be saved, I'd probably live with it. Unless there, of course, was a church that was stronger. That's something you're probably going to have to live with unless you start your own church in your own home.
Right.
And that's an option. Or unless you're willing to drive further, which
yeah.
that's an option for some people.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't totally exclude this church or this pastor because of a one-time statement. I would go with the overall experience that you hear in the preaching and teaching.
Right. All right, here's a question from Ralph. And Ralph, he's been listening to us for a while, and he's been very blessed by us. And he says, could you do a program on the differences between belief, trust, and loving Christ in the New Testament?
Well, that's a good question.
So maybe we can just think about that, because jumping off what we just said before, when people make evangelistic appeals, they'll often use words like trust. Like, they'll say believe, but they'll say you also need to trust in Christ. And maybe some people would also say you need to love Christ to be saved. But so what's the difference between those three things?
Okay, let's take the believe trust first.
Yeah.
Lots of people think that trust is an accurate synonym. I don't.
Right.
And let me give you an example.
Let's say what believe is.
Okay.
To believe is to be what? Persuaded.
Well, it is, or to be convinced.
Yeah.
But that's not what trust means. And so a lot of people say, well, belief means to rely, or belief means to trust.
Mm-hmm.
No, belief means to be persuaded. When Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he says, do you believe this? He doesn't mean, do you trust this? Do you rely on this? He means, are you convinced this is true? Are you persuaded this is true?
So he's made a claim or a promise.
Right.
He said, I'm going to do this, or this is true of me. And so whether or not you believe that is whether or not you are persuaded that the claim is true or that the promise is true.
Right. John Robbins, he's passed now, on with the Lord, but he wrote some good articles on the fact that all faith is propositional.
Right.
All faith is believing a proposition. Jesus gives two propositions there, and he says, do you believe this? Trust, let me give you an example of trust.
Yeah.
Okay, the doctor recently told me I've got a hernia, or maybe two, I don't know. And I'm going to have to probably at some point in the future have hernia surgery. I had it 20 years ago, I had hernia surgery, and I'll probably have to do it again. I'm going to have to find a doctor, and I'm going to have to trust that doctor to cut on me.
Right.
When I trust the doctor to cut on me, I am not convinced that it's absolutely guaranteed that it's going to be a successful surgery. I realize I could die on the table.
Right.
Not too likely, but there's probably a 1 in 100,000 chance that people getting hernia surgery die.
Okay.
And so I am not convinced that it's going to work out well, but I trust that it will work out well.
Okay.
Trust is when I say, go ahead and do the surgery. Or I go to the dentist and I say, go ahead and put in the crown. And I know when they put in the crown, it may fail and I may lose that tooth.
Right.
But when Jesus says, he who lives and believes in me shall never die, I'm not saying, well, I'm going to trust that. It may not be right, but I'm going to take my best shot.
Okay.
No. I am absolutely sure that's true.
So,
I am convinced.
So there's a difference. Trust can have some element of doubt and uncertainty in it.
Right.
Whereas belief is yes or no. It's like the light switch is either on or off. You believe that it's true or not.
Right. And trust is a choice. Belief isn't.
Right.
Okay. I choose to trust somebody. I don't choose to believe somebody.
Okay.
I'm either convinced or not convinced, but then trusting is something different. Now, in terms of loving, same thing. Loving is a choice. Believing is not. So, of course, love can be used metaphorically, and at least one occasion in John's gospel, Jesus does seem to use loving him as a reference to accepting him. But for the most part, loving Christ means, or loving others, means doing what he says. If you love me, keep my commandments,
right.
Jesus
so it's,
said.
It's an action. It's a verb.
Right.
It's an action term.
You're, right.
You're doing good to people.
Right. And we show our love for God by loving his children, according to 1 John, right?
Right.
So loving God is not the same as believing in him, for believing in the Lord Jesus Christ for everlasting life. And trusting God or trusting the Lord Jesus Christ is not the same as believing in
well,
him.
What would be an example of trust? Use the example of trusting your dentist. What would it mean to trust in Jesus?
Well, to trust in Jesus, I think, would mean that I am doing something which I'm not sure what the ultimate outcome is, because
yeah.
God hasn't said in his word, but based on what I know about God, I am taking this action and trusting it's going to work out well.
So like maybe starting this ministry.
Right.
Were you trusting God when you started
yeah.
this?
But I didn't know it was going to work out.
Right.
I went to Multnomah School of the Bible when I started this ministry, and I was teaching there, and I trusted this would work out well. Well, Sharon couldn't take the climate in Portland. We ended up leaving after a year.
Yeah.
It didn't work out so well, but it worked out great because we came back to Dallas, and I've been heading this ministry ever since, and doing this turned out to be, I think, better than what it would have been if I'd stayed teaching at Multnomah.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that's a good example, Sean. And I think trusting is stepping out and doing something in light of what God says, and then trusting it's going to work out well.
Well, I hope that answers Ralph's question. I hope that raises some questions for you. Have you believed in Jesus for his promise of everlasting life? Are you trusting Jesus as you live your Christian life in light of his revelation to you? And three, are you loving Jesus by seeking to glorify his name and to do good to the neighbors around you? Well, we love hearing from you. Keep on sending your questions to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to explore more of the topics that we talk about on this show and don't know where to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you where. It's at faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the site, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. For example, we have this beautifully laid out full-color magazine that you can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up on the site. Would you like to become a financial partner with this show? Well, if so, you can find out how to do that on faithalone.org. All gifts are tax-deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about what it takes to have a correct understanding of salvation. So you're going to want to tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.